Hello and welcome to this week's episode of For the Love of Chiropractic. If you're one of our new listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in and I'll encourage you to hit the subscribe button. If you're one of our long-term listeners from all around the world, I want to thank you for your continued listenership and also encourage you to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a single episode. On today's show, we're going to talk about three things that you can do to add value to your patients that cost you absolutely nothing. It shows you care more than lots of other docs, and you're more knowledgeable and thinking than lots of other doctors you know. So let's get started with today's show. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Chiropractic. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Freeman. I've been in practice for over 30 years, and I continue to work in a million-dollar practice that I built, ran, and sold. I've taught, lectured, and coached our profession, and helped so many chiropractors build the practice and the life of their dreams. And now, I want to help you do the same. So here's today's show. As I said in the introduction, on today's show, we're going to be talking about three things that you can share with your patients, specifically chosen for the right patient at the right time, to give them the information they need to help them get better faster and stay healthier longer. And when you share this information at the proper time, it makes you stand out as the expert and caring more and being a better office than lots of your colleagues that are out there. So the very first one that I want to talk about is what I call the pillow check. Many of our patients come in with some sort of cervical-related complaint, whether it's neck pain, whether it's headaches, different types of headaches, migraine, suboccipital, tension, cluster headaches, or other cervical-related complaints, numbness, tingling, weakness into the upper extremities. All of these things relate back to the alignment of the cervical spine and how healthy those vertebrae really are. So as you're treating and working with the patient, once they have a few adjustments under their belt and they've started to get better, I'm going to encourage you to ask them the question regarding their neck pain and their headaches or whatever it happens to be. What time of day do you seem to notice it if you haven't asked that in the original history? So is it better or worse first thing in the morning? As the day progresses, is it better or worse? By the end of the day, what's it like? And if it just so happens that it's at its worst first thing in the morning, I wake up with it every morning, doc, and then as the day goes along, it seems to get better, and by night it's pretty good, but then in the next morning, it's there again. This is the perfect time to invite them to bring their pillow in for what's called a pillow check. And when you ask the patient to bring their pillow in, they're going to say, oh, well, doc, you know, it's just a standard pillow. Well, there's no such thing as just a standard pillow. Similar to all cars are the same, and that's just not true. A Honda is a great car, and so is a Porsche, and so is a Rolls-Royce, but they are very different cars for lots of different reasons. So invite them to bring their pillow in so that you can look at it and see how it's supporting them. And it may take them two or three visits to remember to do this, and that's okay, just gently remind them. When they do finally bring it in, usually they hold it up and say, all right, here you go, doc, here's my pillow. And we look at it and say, great, now I want you to show me how you use this thing. And they look at you like you've lost your mind and place it on the table and say again, show me how you use this thing. You're immediately going to find out, are they a side sleeper, a back sleeper, or a stomach sleeper? So you want to comment and discuss that. Sleep on your stomach is always a problem because it forces the neck either into full rotation and you're stuck that way for a couple hours, or it forces the head into full extension, and that's a problem if you're that way for a couple hours. So sleep on your stomach is never a good idea, and it's amazing how many patients don't know that. So assuming they're primarily a back sleeper, they'll lay down on their back with a pillow under them, and the first thing you want to look at is where the bottom edge of the pillow is compared to the tops of their shoulders. Many patients will end up laying in the middle of the pillow, so the bottom edge of the pillow is actually down around T3 or even T4. And that automatically starts to create a hyperkyphosis. So you can discuss that the bottom edge of the pillow should be right at the top edge of the shoulders. Perfect. And when you show that to them, then you're going to take your first two fingers, so your index finger and your chiropractic index finger on both hands, stand behind the patient at the head of the table and slip your fingers under their cervical spine. If you can easily slip your fingers under there, then clearly you know, and then they'll immediately know, that pillow is not giving their neck any support at all. And assuming that's the case, then you can take the bottom edge of the pillow and roll it up a little bit to create an artificial bolster there and show them what a proper cervical support should feel like, support in the neck and still cradling the head. If, on the other hand, they're a side sleeper, they use the pillow and they'll show you how they snuggle in with the pillow and hold it up. And again, what you're looking to see is if they're laying on their side, is their head tilted down or is it craned way up? Either way, is it in lateral flexion or is it still neutral? Either way, it's going to be compromising the neurovascular bundle potentially and creating the headaches, the arm pain, the upper back pain, whatever those symptoms are. So there's a discussion to be had there about this pillow is not working, or if it is working, that's great. You've eliminated that as a problem. Now, once you've had that conversation, the question is what to do about it. In years past, offices used to stock lots of pillows, different sizes, different types, and fit the pillow properly for the patient so it gives them the proper support. And that's just fine if you're still doing that. In today's world, with the rise of Amazon and online shopping, and the number of people who utilize that, I think it makes so much more sense to pull up on Amazon and show the person the pillow you recommend they get. Yes, you're right, you can't mark it up. You're not going to make any money off of that. But you know what? When you think about how much that is, it really does not add to the bottom line significantly, and you're being of service to the patient. And if there's a problem with the pillow, they can send it back to Amazon, and that's just fine. No harm, no foul. So when you pull it up on the computer, have them take their smartphone and go ahead and screenshot it, and then invite them to bring that pillow in once they get it so you can double check it to make sure that it's fitting the way that it should. Again, it's a value-added service that makes you stand above all the other docs out there. And once you've done that, if you have a great professional relationship with your patients and there's an edge and humor to your office, I love saying to the patient, okay, thank you for bringing your pillow in so we could have pillow talk together. And that's an old joke about an old movie that goes back to the 1960s, I think it was. So if your patient is over 50, they'll understand the joke and think it's humorous. Before we move on to the second one, I want to revisit the whole sleeping on your stomach thing. If we all agree that sleeping on your stomach is not good for the spine for lots of different reasons, how do you best tell somebody to not sleep on their stomach? And because they say things like, well, I don't know, doc, I'm asleep. How can I possibly stop doing that? And the answer is tell them to sleep in a t-shirt that has a pocket, a front pocket, and then invite them to put a tennis ball in the pocket. So if during the sleep they happen to roll into their stomach, that tennis ball will be there and it's just uncomfortable enough that it will remind them to roll back over on their side or on their back. And by doing that over a period of 3 or 4 weeks, they will have effectively broken themselves of the habit of sleeping on their stomach. Works beautifully. Every once in a while, I'll have a patient tell me that their bed is so soft that they don't even notice the tennis ball when they roll in their stomach. And in a case like that, I tell them to step it up and use a lacrosse ball instead. Never have I had anybody tell me that that was such an issue that it didn't prevent them from learning to not sleep on their stomach. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the second thing that you can talk with your patients about different issues that they're having that's a value-added service, and I call it the bed test. Very often, a patient will come in and say, Doc, I think I need to buy a new mattress. What do you recommend? And the very first thing that I recommend, especially if they're early on in their care, I'll tell them, don't buy a new mattress yet. Let's get your spine aligned and working properly before you choose to invest that kind of money. But let's find out if the bed really is an issue for you or not. So most often, people complain about their lower back or sciatic pain or pain in the buttocks that's related to the mattress, and that's when they think maybe they need a new mattress. So we want to find out, is it the back or is it the mattress? The easiest way to do this is to tell the patient, I want you to sleep in a different bed for 2 or 3 nights. And the sofa does not count. You cannot sleep on the sofa for 2 or 3 nights and get the data that we need. So you can ask the patient, do you have a guest room in your house? And if they say no, well, are there any empty bedrooms? Maybe one of the kids' bedrooms. The kids aren't there. No, bedrooms are all full with kids. All right. Can you swap beds with one of the kids for a couple of nights? Usually that's a yes. And in the worst case scenario, if no, there's no guest room, there's no kids' beds that we can swap around, find out the size bed they're sleeping in. And if it's bigger than a single bed, have them sleep to one side or the other that they don't typically sleep on. If the person is married or has a live-in significant other that they're in relationship with, talk to them about switching sides of the bed with their bed partner, again, for two or three nights. So if you're having this conversation on a Friday in your office, it's perfect because they can do it Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday they can report back. There's your three nights. And if all of those things are a no, can't do any of those things, then ask them if they're going away anytime soon. Are you going on vacation? Are you going out of town to a convention or a seminar or a work event? Any place where they're going to be sleeping in a different bed for two or three nights. You want that same bed for the two or three nights because that's going to tell you, is it the back or the bed? If they come back and tell you, no, doc, you know what? I slept in a different bed. My back still hurts the exact same way. Fine. You know what? It's not the bed. Save your money. We're going to continue fixing your back. We're going to get this better. Remove those subluxations, improve the biomechanics, stretch and strengthen the proper muscles so this is not an issue for you. On the other hand, if they tell you it's better or worse, well, then you can spend some time diving into the difference between the bed they slept on versus the bed they're used to sleeping in to help guide them to the best new mattress. I did have an interesting case years ago where a gentleman had a severe back problem and the bed appeared to be a problem and there were no options for other beds he could sleep in, not even a different side of the bed because of the size of the bed and his body habitus. And in his case, as soon as he got to the point that he was more mobile than he had been, I recommended that he sleep on the carpeted floor. Make yourself comfortable with one pillow under the head. You need a pillow under the knees or between the knees to neutralize the mechanics of the back and the pelvis. That's fine. But sleep on the floor for two or three nights, again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and let's see how you do. In his case, the floor made it dramatically better, which helped us get him better faster, and that was terrific. Ultimately, he ended up getting a very firm mattress because he did need to replace the mattress. So keep all that in mind. So far, we've talked about pillow checks for cervical-related issues. We've talked about replacing the mattress for lumbar-related issues. We haven't talked about thoracic issues, so we're going to talk about that as the third thing. The third one becomes typically an ergonomic issue. The upper back hurts. So you'll ask the person at the appropriate time in care, which is somewhere between the 6th and 10th visit, because they should be improving at this point, again, about when the pain is the worst. And if they say something like, well, it's okay in the morning, but as the day goes along, it gets worse and worse, and by the end of the day, oh, it's just killing me, can be neck pain, usually upper back pain, can be lower back pain. Find out which days it bothers them. Is it a Monday through Friday thing? Or is it a Saturday-Sunday thing? Or is it all? Is it none? And what's their work schedule? Most often, what you're going to find is it's a Monday through Friday thing, or it matches their work schedule, especially if they're working at a desk. And as we saw during the COVID pandemic, so many people were suddenly working from home on their laptops, sitting at their kitchen table or a dining room table where the keyboard is so close to the monitor and people are scrunched down, being hyperkyphotic, looking at the screen in poor posture, and that created lots of issues. And so many of us recommended to patients get a separate keyboard and move the monitor back and to the proper height. And we'll talk about the proper height in just a minute. And now that we're back into the post-COVID era and people are back to work, if they are having the back pain, the upper back pain, that's worse as the day progresses, then what you want to do is you want to do an ergonomic study. Back in the old days, before we had cell phones that had good cameras on them, we had to do a workplace visit to do ergonomic corrections. But now it's so easy. Tell your patient to sit at their desk the way they normally sit when they're working. And have them give their cell phone, their camera, to one of their coworkers and have them get a picture taken from the side view and from behind. And what you're looking at is their posture. Are they sitting in the chair properly? Are they sitting back the way they should be? Does the chair have armrests so the elbows can rest silently so when they're working on the keyboard, there's no additional strain biomechanically there either? Do they have their feet flat on the floor? Do they have them curled around the legs of the chair? Or do they even sit on one of their feet with one leg bent and the other one straight, which we all know will cause a pelvic distortion, continually subluxating the sacroiliac joint on one side versus the other, and also creating a muscular imbalance through the gluteal muscles. You also want to look at the height of the desk, the position of the mouse, assuming it's a computer, and again, going back to the computer, the height of the monitor. The best place for the height of the monitor is with the 80% top of the screen, so the top 20% of the screen, is at eye level. It's above the 50% mark. It's up around the 3/4, 80% mark. That's where you want the top of the screen to be as you're working and looking at it. If the person wears glasses, perhaps there's a conversation there about, are they progressive glasses? Do they have reading glasses? Do they have computer glasses specifically for working at that distance? Because all of those things force the person to sit in a certain way and can cause suboccipital issues, or those upper back thoracic issues that we had talked about. And as we've talked about on previous episodes, it typically takes about 40 visits to correct a spine. You don't want to throw all of this information at the person on the first day, the second day, even the third day. We've got to hand them the information one piece at a time, spoon feed them to them one piece at a time so that we don't overload them with too much information, because when you do that, then nothing gets done. You wouldn't give somebody an entire exercise regime regarding rehab exercises. No, you bring them along with the proper information at the proper time to get them better. I think the best place to integrate each of these pieces, based on the case that you're dealing with and the symptoms that they have, is somewhere between the 6th and 12th visits. Because by that time, they've begun to get better. They're noticing improvement, and it's a great time to really zero in on what things are making it worse and slowing down your progress. Is it the pillow? Is it the sleeping position? Is it the bed? Or is it the ergonomics of their work? By looking at each of these things, you become the outstanding doc who's really thinking and helping them get where they want to be and need to be. On next week's show, I have the opportunity to interview another longtime friend of mine. This man and his companies have helped thousands of chiropractors attract tens of thousands of new patients over the last 30 plus years. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss next week's show, which is going to be amazing. All right, and that's our show for today. If you have a question about today's show or your own practice, feel free to reach out at thelovofchiropractic.com. Before making changes to your practice, be sure to seek legal advice regarding those changes and regulations in your state. For the Love of Chiropractic is an RGF production, all rights reserved. And thanks for listening. Original music provided by Hunter Rich Music.